I dropped out of high school, was being called a loser from some friends and family, was being called a loser and a failure because I dropped out and live in a little shed behind mobile home park. So I want those of you to listen to this. It does not matter who you are or where you are right now. What matters, who you become and who and where you are tomorrow. So who cares about all the haters, all the negative things, right? Distance them. It does not matter where you are right now or who you are. It's what matters tomorrow. So go make it happen.
What's up, guys and gals? I've got an amazing special guest with me today. We had a chance to meet briefly down in Dallas at Max Maxwell's event a few months ago now. And Brady on my team, who you guys have had a chance to meet and be introduced to through the podcast, he came back and we both started talking about like all the amazing people we met. And there's something to be said about the energy that a person brings to it, to an interaction, energy that a person brings to people around them. And I immediately started following this guy who I'll introduce you to here in a second on Instagram. And I just couldn't get enough of the energy. Me and Brady were chatting. We're like, we got to get him on the podcast. Not only is he a Carrot customer, bringing in dozens of leads a month, and we're going to talk about how he's doing it. There's some upgrades we're going to throw at you too, some things that you can do to make your website perform even better. I was looking at it right before this. I'm like, dude, we can help him with that, and he can just switch this and click this button there and make this work better. So I'll give you some things at the end too, which would be cool. But I want to welcome on officially to the podcast, Mr. Kong Lee. Welcome on, man.
Hey, Trevor, thank you so, so much. And before we even go further, man, I want to say, dude, thank you so much for the amazing, like you guys have given us such an amazing, amazing products. It really helps us generate more leads into our business, close more deals. Dude, it's absolutely amazing. Any one of you that don't have Carrots, dude, must get it. If you follow me, gotta get it.
I was looking at your account today. You've been a member for 4 years. I mean, you've been a client of ours for almost the beginning. We've been in business for 5.5 years. So when we were like a little baby, our product was good, but it's a lot better now. We've got some massive improvements we're hitting, buddy. So I appreciate you, man, in a big way. So we've kind of been on this journey with you, which has been fun. I love it.
Dude, bro, no. Honestly, Trevor, thank you, man. Thank you so much. And you guys, Trevor, do not make me say this or anything, okay? This is not a pay ad. No, nothing. No baloney.
Yeah. Really straight. Whip out the wallet.
No, really, really straight from the heart, man. They have made a great product. Thank you so much. And also, too, is the customer service, dude. Hands down. Absolutely amazing.
Dude, that makes me smile, man. We had our company retreat last week. Yeah, we do it every 6 months. We do a July and a January, kind of like we get to check how we did the last 6 months, chart up the next 6 months, and kind of rebuy into vision. And that's one of my favorite things to do, man, is just share those stories with our customer success team, with the content team, and the impact we're making. So we're gonna take that clip out, toss it over to the CS team, man. They're gonna love it. So. Let's dive in, man. I'm a big story guy. It's something that pumps me up. I think at the root of marketing, at the root of just living and connection, there's stories behind everything. One of my favorite podcasts lately that I've been listening to, that I've been jamming on a bunch, has been a podcast called Business Wars. And it's like all about the stories of these amazing businesses, Sony versus Nintendo and Pepsi versus Coke. And so I dive into story in big ways. We're going to dive into your story, man. And I know you've got a really, really cool story. It's not the traditional, you know, hey, grew up in America, this amazing blue collar family, the whole thing, and you came in and you're crushing it. And I absolutely love a story where it's not the traditional path that 9.5 out of 10 people that complain about how hard they've got it have had to take. So let's kind of go all the way back, man. First of all, you were born in Vietnam, correct?
That's correct. Cool. Yep.
So let's take people all the way back there, man. What's your backstory? How did you get to where you are now?
Yeah, man. Dude, Trevor, thank you so much, man, for giving me this opportunity to share my stories with your audience. So thank you so much. And you guys, those of you who are listening, I really hope that this adds some kind of a value to you. At the age of 18, my wife and I just really trying to make it in life. And I was like wishing and hoping and praying to God that one day that if I were able to make it, that I can share my story to the whole world, man. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
Dude.
So yeah, man, born and grew up in Vietnam. I have no color, not blue color, not brown color. Dude, grew up dirt poor. Grew up in a mud hut. My parents are basically farmer worker, right? Working for somebody else. 16, 17 hours in the sun, in the rice field every single day. So I grew up really, really poor. So my parents didn't have any money to send me to school. So no formal education, even when I was back in my country, no formal education. The thing is, the education in Vietnam, it's not like it, in America, right? You either have money to pay to go to school or you don't. If you don't have the money, then don't. You're not going to go. And then to basically bump you up to a grade, basically to pass, you got to pass a test. And every single time when you take the test, you got to also pay money for that test to get to the next grade. It's not like here in America, you show up and then you get to the like you get a passing grade. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yep.
So man, since the age of six, dude, I was trying to, I help my family out in any way I can. I go in the rice field, help my mom and dad. You know, was fortunate enough to come over to America at the age of nine. Never seen a refrigerator before, never seen carpet before. The first time I saw a refrigerator and carpet, oh my gosh, you guys, like I ran to the refrigerator, hug it, open it, freezing cold. I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Never seen it before. You know, so grew up, you know, throughout my childhood, right when I got to like middle school up to high school, super, even into my 20s, super insecure, shy, extremely insecure, physically, mentally. So when I was 17, I just knew that school wasn't for me. Mm. I just knew that I didn't have that book smart, that I knew that after high school, I wasn't going to college. Like I wasn't going to pursue anything further. So I dropped out of high school when I was 17. Obviously, the whole Asian parent, hey, bro, I want you to graduate, make me proud, get a degree so I can show off to my friend and say, hey, my son is a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, you know, someone that works in the office and makes, you know, my parent thinks making $100,000 a year is like a millionaire. So yeah,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I went pretty much against everything, drop out. 17, got a regular job where my mom actually got me the job. Met the wife at the age of 18. Decided, you know what? I'm not going to stay home anymore because my parents obviously keep on like beating me up lecture after lecture. And so I packed a few pieces of clothing. I told my mom, I'm going to move in with this girl. I'm done.
I'm sure they love that conversation, man. I'm sure.
Oh, dude, my mom cried and said, if you left, like, we're done. Like, I'll disown you. Like, you leave with this girl. Like, we're no longer. And the one thing is, like, I grew up as a Catholic, right? As a Catholic. So yeah,
me too.
Generation was Catholic. And my wife, she's Buddha. Right? Wife's Buddha. Basically, it's a no-go. Like, in my country, it's a huge deal. So I pack up. I told my mom, and my mom said, well, you know what, Kong? If you leave, you don't go back to school and do the right thing, you're going to be a labor worker, just like your dad and I, for the rest of your life. Mm. And this is what I told her. I said that I'm willing to work from the bottom up, even if I have to scrub toilet.
Mm.
But I just knew the school wasn't for me. Done. Left, packed the door, shut the door. So I moved in with the wife. She was currently living with her mom in a mobile home park, in a single wide trailer, and move in with her. A couple months in, we move out into this little shed behind the mobile home park. It's like an 11 by 11 little shed. Dude, no bathroom, no heater, no nothing. So we have to run a power core from the mobile home all the way to that shed. And at the time, you know, her mom was only making $6.50. And I just lost my job, and my mom and the wife didn't really have a job anyway. So everything was on a budget. Everything was saving. And we stay in that shed from the age of 18 all the way to 23.
Wow.
Even when I start to get a job and start making money, I was making $8.50 working for this company. I worked for that company for 8 years. And then finally, 6 year in, man, I was actually making $30,000 a year. Woo! Dude, I was making more per hour than the majority of the people in my family. So I was kind of proud. You know, I was like, man, 6 year in.
Dude.
You know, my dad asked me, go ahead, bro.
Oh, I was going to say, what type of work was it? What was that job?
Yeah, I make custom orthotics. So okay. Basically, super feet, insole, basically go in the shoes and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, man. So so my dad used to ask me, so how much do you make there now? I say 17, 18 bucks an hour. He said, wow, dude. He's like, wow. You know, he's like, that's the job that you will have to keep for the rest of your life. That's a good company to work for. Mm-hmm. So, dude, anyways, even before that, once I start getting a job, my wife and I was budgeting 50 bucks a month to spend. Like after all the bills, after everything is pay all the expense. And obviously at that time, my wife and I didn't have all the fancy things, right? So after all the bills is paid and everything like that, I used to have a Nokia flip phone, man. So we budget ourselves to $50 to spend a month. So we can go out to eat, go out to a movie. I used to remember we went out to dinner to have pho. Those of you who have pho, Trevor, have you ever had pho?
I have. There's none here in Roseburg, but tons of it up in Portland, man. Eugene, I love it. Love it.
Yeah, man. Well, so those of you who know pho is like a bowl of noodle soup, and it only costs about like, back then, maybe $6.50 or $7. Mm-hmm. And then a waitress came out, took my order, and I was like, hey, I would like some spring roll to go with that. And my wife turned to the waitress and said, no. He's not going to have any spring roll. I said, Lord, come on, man.
You got to splurge.
I said, come on, man. You know, spring roll is only $1.50 or $2. I said, can I get a spring roll? I said, Kong, listen, I promise you, no spring roll now, but you can have all the spring roll you want in the future. Hmm. I said, oh, man, what kind of life is this, man? Hmm. So we were pretty much just budget safe. Like the wife, like one of her goal was, you know, she said, if I was going to move out of this shed, I'm going to move into a house, not an apartment. I'm not going to pay rent for somebody. So we pretty much just save everything, budget everything, save every single dollar, to be able to one day, man, just get out of that shed. Hmm. And at the age of 20, we were lucky and fortunate enough to bought over a kiosk that my wife works and at the mall for. So the guy was trying to grow too fast, too quick. So he kind of went bankrupt. And the only person that he knew that can take it over and that he likes was the wife. She was there when he needed. Listen, for those of you who work for somebody, dude, go the extra miles. You just don't know what life or God had in store for you. So, go the extra miles. Most people just do what they're being paid for, but they don't go extra mile. If you do more than what you were being asked and paid for, I promise you one day you get paid more than what you do. Anyways, we bought over the hair extension kiosk. My wife knew that she can make it way better, 10 times better. So we were at the age of 20, man. I was working at the job, come home, working at the hair extension kiosk all the way until we were, so I was doing kind of two jobs. I mean, the kiosk business, for those of you who don't know, it's like this little kiosk in the mall. Like, I thought it was easy, bro. Like, I thought it was easy, but let me tell you guys something. Mentally, it drains you. Sitting there waiting for customers.
Yep.
It drains you. Like, I was just sitting there watching movie after movie after movies. So at the time, we pretty much own a job, not a business. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't like too proud of it or anything like that. We kept everything, Trevor, we kept everything, man, on the down low. Mm. My parents don't know about it. Our friends don't know about it. My wife and I, man, throughout our life was all about, don't tell them. Why don't you just show them? Because that's how you're going to shut them up. Because listen, man, when you sit at a dinner table with your friends, your uncle, your brother, your sister, everybody can talk. Everybody can have a big talk. But dude, who actually do it? Who actually takes the action and do it? Who actually makes it happen? You know, so it's always the one that talks a lot but don't do much.
Dude, I had a similar circumstance with that when I was growing up too. As far as I didn't have the hair extension kiosk or
what?
I didn't have that. But as far as I graduated college and then I just kind of went off and said, I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to try to figure this thing out. When my wife and I moved up to Portland, I went in credit card debt that year. I paid my taxes on my credit card, which I didn't know you could do, but I didn't have any money to pay them. This would have been 2006 or seven, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I'd come back home or I'd go to events with family or friends from high school or college. And the question that always pops up is, hey, what are you doing? Right? Because they all graduated college or graduated high school and they got the good job at the mill. Mills, wood mills are big here in Oregon. or they've got the job at the whatever, the engineer firm or the hospital, and they're all making their 40 to 70K a year. And they think it's amazing out of the gates, right? Which it is. That's an amazing job. They put in the work. They got the education. They got a good job coming out. But I'd be kind of the butt of the joke. You know, it's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I try to explain to them what I'm doing. I didn't know. I was trying to figure it out, right? And then eventually, after probably a year or two of trying to figure it out, and I could never explain to them what my vision was, nor could they get it. Like, even if I explained to them what my vision was and I was decently clear on it, they didn't understand it. They couldn't conceptualize why someone would not get a job and they would suffer as far as earning a really low income when I could just go get a job that paid more for this weird nebulous vision. And what always happened, Kong, was I'd show up and I'd say, well, I've got a plan. Like that became my thing. I just told them, I've got a plan. Like it was the same thing. I'm going to show them when it actually happens. I will let actions take care of it. No longer am I going to like feed into their thing. It's like, I've got a plan. And I got a text message, and this is probably 2-3 years ago, from one of my good friends. We're still really good. And her and I she's really funny, man. But she texted me and she said, after she saw something on Facebook one time, she goes, I see the plan worked out. And I'm like, that's way cool. You know, the actions speak louder than yapping. So I love it, man. Back to the story, dude.
Yeah, man, dude. Absolutely. Absolutely. So at 23, we bought our first house. So the wife, like my wife and I, man, our goal since we're 18 was just really to make it in life. And I want to share with you guys, like, I'm not a guy, Trevor, that have big ambitions, big goals, big dreams at all. Mm-hmm. I really thought that I was going to be a regular guy that goes get a job and go home, play video games because of my insecurity. I thought that I was okay with it. I thought that's who I was going to be for the rest of my life. I used to make, you know, we used to go to work, and then on the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I get together with my family and play poker throughout the weekends. I really thought that was my life because that's what I was surrounded by, right? So when I met the wife, and she's the one that have big goals, big dreams, big ambitions, because she grew up watching you know, she watched Bill Gates. So when her mom said, well, if you drop out of school, you're not going to make it in life. She said, well, what about Bill Gates? What about this guy? What about that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she grew up watching The Fabulous Life and all of that. So for me, man, doing what I do is my goal is I just want to make the wife dream come true. That's my ultimate why. When she, you know, I want to be able to get to the point in my life, man, where she said, I want that. I want to go there. I want to do that. I want everything top notch. And I want to be the guy that said, Lon, I don't know how to do it for right now, but I'll make it happen. Right. I'll make it happen where we can afford it.
Yep.
So, so 23, man, at 23, we bought our first house. Dude, it was such an amazing experience, bro, because we kept everything on the download We bought the house. Nobody knows about it. Like, I knew nothing about it, right? Bought the house, came back home to her mom. So came back home to the trailer. And her mom, you know, obviously she's the youngest child. I'm the youngest child. And seeing the condition that we live, and her mom was always kind of worried about her. And always every parent wanted their kids, you know, to be successful and be happy. And so she would never thought. So I came, we bought the house, we moved everything in. I came home, knock on the door, got her to go, and she pretty much told her mom, hey, we just bought a house. We're gonna take you with us. And she didn't believe us. She's like, whatever. I opened up the curtain, she saw a big U-Haul truck, dude. You could not even hold the tears in her eyes.
Oh my gosh. Like
you couldn't keep the tears in her mom's eyes. So her mom was crying. So anyway, we took her to the house. By the time that we were like 27, I think 27 or 28, dude, we got our house paid off, got a little business. And throughout this, man, it was work, grind, and save. No vacation, no partying, no nothing. My wife and I was, our whole mentality was like sacrifice our teens and our 20s, do whatever it takes necessary and morally to get to the point where we can be free, right? So we don't have to work until 65. Like that was our whole goal. Only thing we knew, Trevor, was to work hard and save. That's it. We didn't know how to read. Like, we didn't know anything about real estate, reinvest, and all of that that I'm going to get into. But that's all we knew. We just grind, man. Grind our butt off and save money and put it into our house. So we got our house paid off, man. We took a little trip back to Vietnam. And we took a trip back to Vietnam, dude. It was awesome. Came back, and the wife went depressed for 2 weeks. And I asked her, I said, Lon, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. I'm just super sad and this and that. And I said, well, what's the reason? I said, Glenn, listen, we work since the age of 18. We work all the way to now to get to this point. Why are you depressed? What's going on? She said, I don't know what it is. So anyways, I think she knew what it is, but it was hard for her to say. So she pretty much stayed in the house, locked herself up or something like that, stayed in the house for like 2 weeks, didn't want to go to the mall to work, didn't want to do anything. One day she went to the mall to pretty much, you know, take the money home. And she met a security guy. And the security guy heard the security guy was talking back and forth. And somehow the book, the movie, The Secret came up. Went home, YouTube it, watched the video, watched the video and said, and she also got the book from Amazon or something like that. Watched the video. And then one day I came home from work from the mall. She was jumping up and down. She's so excited and said, Kong, I knew why. The reason why was because I want to become a millionaire or a multimillionaire, but my brain tells me that I cannot have it.
Huh.
It's like you want something really, really bad, but you have this limited belief that tells you cannot ever, ever have it in your life. Like your life will never be fulfilled, right? Like you can just not have it.
Hmm.
And then after she watched the movie, knowing that, hey, anything is possible, but you can do it, right? So the movie The Secret blew it up. And then from that moment on, bro, it got us to exploring plan B. What else should we do? Like, let you know, now that we know that, hey, it's not like I can do this, right? Like the limited belief has been lift off of her. So anyways, bro, one day I was driving her home from the mall. Now she's all excited about life again, right? I was driving her home from the mall. We're at the stoplight. And then she's like, Kong, pulls into Barnes & Noble. I say, where? She's like, Barnes & Noble. I say, Lon, listen. You know who goes there? She said, who? I said, smart people, Lon. We never finished a book in our life. What the heck are we doing in Barnes & Nobles?
Hmm.
I said, what? She's like, shut up, Kong. Pulls in Barnes & Noble. All right? I don't know. She's like, I don't know what it is, but my intuition. So anyway, she pulls into Barnes & Noble, man. She was going up and down this aisle, came across the book called How Come That Idiot Is Rich and I'm Not, right? A real estate book.
Uh-huh.
Went home, took the book, dude, read it from back to end. It was an easy read. She loved the author. So went and booked a, she went and paid $7,000 to go to a 3-day seminar, $7,000, 3-day seminar for both of us. I say, oh my God, this chick is whacked. Now she wants to. So, and then she's like, Kong, we're going to take all of our money that we have saved for all this year. We're going to dump into real estate and we're going to flip houses. And I say, oh shit. I say, oh shit, man. I said, dude, we know nothing about house, no construction, no vocab. I couldn't even tell you what the market is going for in our area.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't know. So anyways, we went to the 3-day seminars. They teach us all about, you know, anything, everything that you want to know about real estate. The knowledge is there. Wholesaling, fix and flip, lease option, owner finance, subject to, you name it. It covered all. So we decided, you know, we decided for some reason, we got into the whole fix and flip, not the wholesale side. Now that's my biggest, dude, that's my biggest mistake or regret.
Mm.
If I were to start all over again, I would have never touched the whole fix and flip, especially if you start out knowing nothing about real estate. There's way more to learn, way more risk involved. So anyway, went into fix and flip, man, got myself into a really bad shape, went fix and flip for a couple years, met my mentor in Florida. After six months in, going to another seminars, trying to learn this, trying to watch all the YouTube video, I was pretty much had it, bro. I was like, you know what? I knew, like, self-awareness. That's why Gary Vee said self-awareness is extremely important. You got to know yourself.
Yep.
I just knew that I was a massive action taker. I have no problem taking action, but I need a hand-on mentor. I need somebody I can pick up the call phone or shoot a text message and say, hey, I've run into this problem and I want to be able to get an answer. I was just tired, Trevor, of looking at my life 6 months later or a year later, looking back and I was barely moving the needle, or maybe I was just trying to figure this out. I was just to the point where I'm willing to pay the price, but not the price of time.
Hmm.
So 6 months in, man, we hire a mentor, pay him 25 G's. He flew out 3 days, show me everything. And obviously now we built like a really good relationship. And after that, after like 3 or 4 years into the whole fix and flip game, man, I got to the point where I was working so much. I was working 13, 14 hours a day, waking up 5 o'clock in the morning, dealing with contractor, subcontractor, dealing with the city, dealing with permits. I got so much cash tied up that any, you know, and we have to really took a step back and really have to think of why we got into real estate. Well, number one, it's not just about the money, but the freedom.
Yep.
You know, the time freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we want. And we thought that the real estate was going to provide that, but the whole fix and flip game. Now those of you who's listening to this, listen, I'm not saying all fix and flipper out there doesn't have a system in place. I'm just sharing with you my experience that it didn't work for me. Mm. And trust me, I was a negotiator. I deal with contract, but for somehow it just didn't work, man. I got so much money tied up, Trevor, that I couldn't flip anymore. So I came across this one property, man, put it on a contract. You know, like I said, when we first started in, heard about a little bit about wholesaling. I said, you know what? I can't flip anymore. I can't buy anymore. Why don't I try it? Dude, got the property tied up, closed it in 7 days, wholesale it, made $28,000 and never looked back. I cut off the whole fix and flip game and went all wholesaling.
So for context, what year was that? What year was that? How long ago was that?
Oh, dude. Okay. So this October, it'll be 8 years in. So I think this October will be probably 4 years that we've been wholesaling. So four years ago, man.
Sweet, dude. So here's what I want to unpack for people here really quick, because there's some amazing nuggets in that story. The first one is surrounding yourself with people that are going to pull you up. Now, you may or may not have known that your wife was going to be that person. I don't, maybe you did. Maybe that's why you married her, because of her energy and her vision and stuff. Yeah, right. But she was that person for you. Like she pulled you to new heights. The next thing was limiting beliefs. Right before we started, you took a picture. Where am I here? You took a picture of that canvas back there. And it's funny because that's why I put it up, because coming into this year, and I'm transparent with everyone here that your carrot is much bigger than I ever thought it was going to be. Honestly, like we were just trying to just provide value and do something that works and do business the right way and serve people, serve community. And what ended up happening was we just grew a lot. And so going into this next year, I'm going, man, like what's the future of where we're going? I had limiting beliefs too. I had limiting beliefs that were holding it and still kind of do. So I'm like, I'm going to put this thing in front of me. So I'm just like always surrounded around that. It doesn't matter. So people that are listening to the podcast, what the canvas says, it says, it doesn't matter what is true. Only what you believe is true, because with work, it will become true. The you believe part's critical. Okay. That's the part that's critical, because until they read this, the secret, and they expanded out, they're like, okay, now I believe that this can actually happen. As soon as that happened, they put in the work like they talked, and then the things happen. That's a biggie, guys. You got to identify where your limiting beliefs are, root them out. And then it doesn't matter what is true. It only matters what you believe is true. With enough work, you can make it happen. Shifted over to flipping, took action, bought time with money. That's a biggie. A lot of people, they're like really, really scarce with their money, even if they've got it. And they're like, oh, I'm going to go in and I'm going to dig through the bigger pocket forms and figure this out. Or I'm going to go build my own WordPress site and save a couple bucks a month. And at the end of the day, if Kong would have done that, if I would have done that, it would have cost me hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lost dollars, because I wouldn't have got the momentum. So I want to fast forward a little bit. So you're wholesaling now. What does your business look like right now? Do you have a team? Is it just you? Is it just you and your wife? Whatever you're willing to share, tell me to shut up if you don't want to share it. But what's your business look like as far as, you know, deal volume or revenue? Just so people have context for like, cool, where are they today?
Yeah, dude. No, I'm not holding anything back. Everything is off limit here. So yeah, right now we're doing about $250 a month, mm-hmm. All virtual. So we don't see the property. We don't meet the seller. We don't meet the buyer. We close all of our deal virtually. We're in about, I think we're in three or four different markets. We spend about, I think, $30,000 to $40,000 a month in marketing. Mm-hmm. And so the wife runs all the back end. So she does all the back end, train all the VA up. So all of our VA set appointment. The VA locked the deal up in a contract. The VA sell the deals. So all these VA from the Philippines, and I think the wife right now, I think she run. We got, gosh, man, I don't get on the meeting, but I think we have about maybe eight or nine VAs that work for us.
Mm-hmm. So are they? So they're locking down the contract. Is there anyone on the ground there locally looking at the house for repairs or anything like that, or is it just straight up all virtual? No one touches the house.
Yep, man. So, well, basically it's all virtual, but the buyer's going to go there. You know, and typically, you know, we do have foot on the ground, mm-hmm. because, you know, we do have foot on the ground that goes help facilitates the, the showing with other wholesaler, with other agents that we have network with, and that they would do that for us.
Cool.
But as for us, we're not there.
I love it. So you've got the VAs that kind of run the mechanics of the business. Your wife runs the back end. What part of the business do you run, man? Like what's your role in the business? Other than YouTube videos and going and speaking on stage.
Well, yeah. So yeah, dude. So Trevor, so I started YouTube, which is a personal brand. I think 2 years or so ago. I think 2 years ago. That's when we kind of have a business in place. We got our VA, we got a system in place. And I say, well, you know what? I only work 2-3 hours a day. What the heck can I do? What else can I do? Right.
And you got the freedom you were talking about, right? Like you changed your business model and you got the freedom, which I love, man. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. For those of you guys who's listening, it's not about, okay, first of all, you got to work hard because you got it. When you start out, man, you got to learn everything yourself. You got to work hard. So you got to build up the cash. Once you build up the cash, you need to start leveraging and buy the knowledge, buy the information, buy the knowledge. That's why I say, you know, Trevor, dude, I pay you more than that, man, for the website. I'm not going to go out there and try to create. You guys buy the information, buy the knowledge. That's why people pay to go to mastermind. That's why people pay to get mentored. But like I said, you know, self-awareness. Do you value the time more than money? Some people value, you know, their time more than money. But like Trevor said, they have the money, but they don't want to spend it. I'm telling you, it's just the wrong kind of mindset. To get what you want in life, you either pay with time or money. There's no other way.
Yep. Dude, so let's break apart in a little bit, next 10 minutes or so. Let's break apart kind of what's working for you. So I logged into your Carrot account a little bit ago. You have, you know, a few dozen leads, couple dozen leads in there, at least just this past 30 days. I mean, that's just from the past 30 days. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leads in there right now on your seller site. And the main thing that, dude, this next week or two, I'm going to have my team do for you is you've been with us long enough that you're on our version one system. What that means to us is like the original system, the original code base, we've upgraded twice since then. And we're going to get you moved over to the most up-to-date stuff, dude. It's like blazing fast. We had an article that was written. We were included in it, but it was this massive research project where this company, they had all these bots going out there and looking at 150,000 small business websites in America. They figured out what are the biggest players, you know, your Wix's, Weebly, Squarespace, GoDaddy, WordPress.coms were always in there. And then they found this little outlier, like we're way smaller than all of them, but they're like, they showed page speed and all this performance stuff. And they go, we have to show this because of how well it's performing. We outperform on page speed, time to first byte, every one of those large players. The only one that we didn't on time to first byte was Google's own, in page speed, was Google's own like Google local website that they give you, which is plain. We beat them all, man. So we're going to move you over to that tech stack this next week or two. That doesn't cost anything, just moving over. So that's going to help all of your Facebook ads, because I saw Facebook ads is one of your sources. We'll get into that. That's going to help all that load way faster and make them convert even better. So let's dig into it. What's your marketing mix look like right now? How do you bring in the $250 a month?
Yeah, man. So right now we spent about, I would say 80% money is going to direct mail. Mm-hmm. We do PPC, obviously, you know, PPC website with Trevor. We also do SEO as well, pay-per-click as well. Mm-hmm. And we also do, what else? We also now starting to get a VA that does the cold calling for us as well.
Cool.
But right now for us, that's pretty much where all the leads are coming in at.
Mm-hmm. And, and that's important because you've got a mix there. We talk with a lot of people who kind of go all in on one method, which go all in on mastering a method. But if you don't have other methods that can start to balance things out and diversify, that's where it can get a little bit dangerous. And so we go all in on content, on building authority, which we're going to get into content here in a second, how you got into doing video and stuff. But, We go all in content, all in performance, all in online, but then also then you need to stack on the other stuff because that's where a lot of attention is. The online is people who are actively searching for a solution, but your direct mail, your cold calling, a lot of those people might not be actively searching yet. And so you get a chance to capture those before they even go out there and start searching, which is awesome. What are you finding as far as our ROIs for you right now? Has anything with the way that the market has been kind of shifting, softening, become more competitive also this past year and a half? Have you found margins going up, going down? Have you found cost per lead, cost per deal is going up, going down? What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, man. So for us right now, is our average deal size is probably around 25,000 for a wholesale deal. So for us, it's like direct mail is starting to be like, you know, people, you know, a bunch of people are doing direct mail. So that's why we did. Now we start cutting back a little bit on direct mail because the cost per lead is getting a little bit higher. So now we start to branch in doing a little bit of cold calling. We're also going to test out some RVM maybe, but right now we also test out some text blast and it has been working amazing.
Cool.
So the cold calling, and so basically we're going to cut down on our, postcards. We used to do yellow letters. We don't do yellow letter anymore, Trevor. We just do postcard.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are going to cut down on that and we're going to dump more money into hire people, maybe another, and start doing more of the cold calling. Some RVM and then the text blast, and also too is probably more into the PPC and all that. Mm-hmm.
Cool, I love it. And guys, what we're gonna do is we're gonna link up in the show notes. We've got a video that we did not too long ago where we show you how to make all of your offline marketing, your RVMs, your cold calling, your text blast, your direct mail, how to make that all work better by amplifying it with your online. And so check it out in the show notes. I go to carrotcast.com and find this one with Kong Lee. Check out the show notes. It's going to make all that work better. So a couple things for you, man. On the Facebook side of things or on the Carrot side of things, a couple kind of questions for you. Number one, you've got the revenue now to build a custom site. You've got the revenue to do all that stuff. And we're going to move you over to the premium tech stack. I keep on seeing it's the tech stack everyone has if they launch a new site today. So if anyone's going, oh, how do I get this amazing tech stack? If you've launched a new site in the past year, you've got it. Like it's just what the thing's built on. But dude, why don't you go build a custom site? Why are you sticking with Carrot and ramping up the results there?
Trevor, dude, listen, man. I don't want to like time and money is the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'd rather put the money in something that's already working. Let the expert listen, man. Let the expert do the expert. All right. And listen, I'm Asian, man. So if things are not working, if I'm not happy, man, I cut the bloodline real quick. So for those of you who's listening, honestly, if you want a good website, I'm telling you, saving the X amount of dollar per month is not going to like it's. Listen, man, you are stepping over dollars for pennies.
Hmm.
Listen to me, man. You're stepping over dollars for penny. Let this expert, man, do their thing. And you do your thing. Mm-hmm. Right, you go do your thing. Let the expert do their thing, man. So, I gotta say, you know, when I get into it, everybody talk about your site, Trevor. The carrot. Have you got it? I say, dude, this like everybody's liking it. Everybody like everywhere I go, I hear bigger pockets on YouTube when I watch. I say, okay, man, I got you. So I went sign up, man. Fell in love, and it worked. It got results. So if I got results, there's no reason why I want to go and change it and do something else, man.
I love it. So I want to walk through a couple things for people. I'm not going to show it, but I'm going to talk through it. Cause this one question that we got, I saw it the other day in Facebook where someone said, hey, is anyone seeing Facebook work? And what are you guys doing to make it work? So I'm logged into the back end of your website and I'm looking at the lead manager. You had a lead come in 34 minutes ago from a Google search. I'm not going to say the city, but up there in Washington State. You had a lead come in 2 hours ago. And and all these leads I'm mentioning filled out both forms. They filled out the step one and the step two, which gives more information. 2 hours ago, Facebook. Let's see. Then it goes more this week, Facebook, Google search, direct. So those might be people that were physically like typing in your domain name or looking for your company from some of your other marketing, Facebook. And that's only on page one. So what are you guys doing to make Facebook work to generate leads? Is there anything special you're doing? What types of ads you run and what type of targeting, that kind of thing?
You know, Trevor, dude, we actually have somebody that we hire out to run our Facebook ads, so I have no clue.
That's a good answer.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yep. So I hire them out, and all we do is we get our VA to track the leads as long as it's producing results and making us the money. Dude, we let the expert do their thing, just like with you, Trevor. If we didn't see the results, you guys, those of you who want to save X amount of dollar a month, come on, man. One deal that you get from the Carrot website. That's it, man. It pays for years.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-brainer.
Dude, I love it. So guys, number one, Facebook does work. We're looking at the leads right now. He's got hundreds and hundreds of them in there. And the key right now with Facebook, because almost all the traffic comes from mobile, you've got to make sure the website is amazing on mobile. And this is going to be even more awesome once we move you over to the other system. Here's the big thing. Now we're going to switch over to video for the next 5 minutes or so. And then we'll wrap this puppy into a bow, send people to your YouTube channel. I want to make sure people, guys, go and subscribe to Kong Lee's YouTube channel. He's such a high, amazing energy. He drops so much amazing things. There's a video over there with, I think, 100,000 plus views on it. A lot of views anyway, where he's like live cold calling a Zillow lead. That was one thing he did down at We Live. Yeah. Max Maxwell's event, people are raving about it, man. They're like, oh, Kong Lee, yeah, he was live calling people on the phone, closing deals. And so that's the stuff you're going to get from his stuff. Go look him up, K-H-A-N-G-L-E on Instagram. We'll link it up in the show notes. But a lot of the stuff on your Facebook side of thing is videos. Okay, you've got videos with your clients. You've got testimonial videos. You're sitting there with the cell phone, it looks like, selfieing it, standing right there with the client, talking with them. So when did you start using video, both in your business here and on the mentorship side of things?
You mean like as far as with the whole testimonial?
Yeah, just in general, man. Like when did you start to feel comfortable to go, cool, I'm just going to start leveraging video now in everything with your real estate business, with what you're doing on YouTube, all that. And why do you use video?
Gotcha, man. Well, the thing is, obviously, those of you who know that I'm super size, super insecure. When I was younger growing up, no pictures, no video. You get me in a picture, you get me in a video, you're done. Like we're no longer friends. Like if you don't get my approval, like we're done. So and dude, I never really thought that I would turn out to be like this, man. But working at the mall really got me overcome my insecurity. I was super shy, super insecure. It was the wife that got me overcome it, man. Because the thing is, you guys, those of you who have some kind of an addictions or obsessions or maybe a fear of some sort, to give up something, you got to understand, to give up something, something else must be extremely more valuable for you to quit. Mm. Like for you to give up an addiction or whatever, the bad habit, whatever that is, the fear, the insecurity, the other thing has to be much more greater and more valuable to you to let the other thing go. And so the wife to me, man, she's like, come, you cannot be like this for us to live the life that we want. So anyways, man, from that, working at the mall, man, really helped me got over it. And when I start the whole, obviously getting to care, I just knew the testimonial was important. So I said, you know what? Nothing else better than a video. And I really went and start getting video from testimonial from client. And we have client now that said, hey, you know what? You guys are virtual. Obviously, you know, this is kind of weird. Well, let us check us out. Go to the website, solve whole testimonial, call us back, and let's do the deal. Dude. Testimonial, you guys, you can say 1,000 words, one testimonial. Mm-hmm. Boom. Just like that. And well, when I got into the whole personal branding, man, because I was working only 2-3 hours a day, I was kind of bored. And I always like to teach. And I watch all this video and people. I was like, you know, and then I listened to Gary Vee. And he said, personal branding is huge. Will be huge. It's huge. And will be huge. I said, boom. Right when I heard that, bro, yep. I took my phone, went out, took my phone, did it. Even till now, I do everything from my phone, man. Shoot the video straight from my phone. It was just one video after another. And I really didn't know that it was going to take off to be where it is today. And Max, man, Max. So I got Max on an interview. For those of you who don't know Max Maxwell, a killer, a real deal guy. And,
I'm hopping in his podcast right after this. Like,
oh, really?
Right after him.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah. Yeah. So let him know that I said hi.
I will, for sure.
Yeah. So, so, dude, I went on the whole thing, and I pretty much just went there and shoot everything just straight from my phone. It's one after another, man. It's just and Max tell me when I got him on the broadcast, he said, Kong, you blew up. Just like I say, dude, listen, you blew up. I just grew. I said, you blew up, bro. I just grew.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. Guys, so Kong and I could talk here for hours, and I'd love to bring you back on and dive into some of the video stuff and really dive into building personal brand, because you've done an amazing job with it, dude.
Thanks.
Where can people find you? Because that's where you really give the details on this. If you're giving the details on how to negotiate a call, you're giving the details on how to do all that in your videos. Where can they find you?
Yeah, man. So those of you who want to check out YouTube, go to Wholesale to Millions. type in wholesale, T-O, 2 millions. You find me on there. On Instagram, it's Khang, K-H-A-N-G dot like a period, W-T-M. And all I teach and share with you is all about wholesaling, whether you do it virtually or not, but that's all I share with you is wholesaling.
Dude, I'm going to throw one more thing on there. That this is something you teach just de facto the way that you show up to life is even though I'm not out there wholesaling, dude, I look at your stuff because the energy, like the way that I started this is I look at this and go, man, he is showing up. Like he is showing up to the day. He's showing up to the moment. Even if you're probably not in a great mood, you're figuring out a way to shift it and go, cool, I'm going to add energy into this interaction because energy and positivity is so important. Gratitude, man. It's like so important. And that's what I pick up from your stuff all the time, in addition to the amazing tips and stuff you're dropping. So guys, I want you guys to go follow Khang. And like I said, it's two reasons. Go learn from what he's doing, but learn from the way he's showing up. That's going to be a big deal. Because if you can go, let's tie this into a knot all the way back to his story. He had an amazing, amazing example and person who really pulled him up in those early days, which is his wife. Okay. I want Khang to be that for you guys. I want Carrot to be that beacon of positivity and possibility for you guys. Go follow him. Follow us. We'll chart you on the right path. Khang, did I so appreciate you hopping on the Carrot Cast, man. Love your energy. Love what you're doing for other people and the business you're building. And even better that you've been a Carrot customer for years, man. I appreciate it big time.
Thank you so much, bro. One last thing before I end this. Those of you who's listening right now, one thing I want you to get from my story is this. I dropped out of high school, was being called a loser from some friends and family, was being called a loser and a failure because I dropped out and live in a little shed behind a mobile home park. So I want those of you to listen to this. It does not matter who you are or where you are right now. What matters, who you become and who and where you are tomorrow. So who cares about all the haters, all the negative things, right? Distant them. And does that matter where you are right now or who you are? It's what matters tomorrow. So go make it happen.
I love it.
Trevor,
I love it.
Thank you so much, bro.
Khang, I appreciate you, man. Everybody go subscribe to Khang's YouTube channel and Instagram, and also go rate this over on Apple Podcasts and check it out on YouTube. Go to carrotcast.com. Share that puppy up. Share this story up with people, and we appreciate you guys spending time with us. Thank you very much. Have an amazing rest of the week.